The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mark Green. I'm president of Top of Mind Network, and I am extremely excited about today's webinar. I have Brian Brady, is a mortgage originator out of San Diego, California. I met Brian about 6 weeks ago as a result of one of his posts on his blog, which is called Bloodhound Blog. For those of you that are not Bloodhound Blog subscribers, highly recommended, probably one of the most dynamic blogs online today. But anyway, I read one of Brian's blogs, and it really answered a lot of my questions about social networking. So I just picked up the phone and I gave him a call, and he taught me a class all about what he does using Facebook and LinkedIn, and it really was a game changer for me. And long story short, I asked Brian if he would do this class for my sphere of influence and my friends in the industry, and he generously accepted my invitation, and that's a result of our webinar today. I know everybody's really busy. We're at the end of the month, so and you really logged on to hear less of me and more of Brian. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to change presenters. I'm going to give Brian Brady control. He's going to be showing his screen, and I'm going to be quiet. I might moderate, and if you have any questions, there's an interface in GoToWebinar where you can type in a question. And I'll be sure to relay those on to Brian throughout the 45-minute webinar. But without further ado, Brian, go ahead and take it on over.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Hello, everybody. It's great to start off a Friday this way. My name is Brian Brady, and I'm a mortgage originator for a company called Worldwide Credit Corporation out in San Diego. And Google calls me America's number one mortgage broker. That last statement to set in, because it's not coming from arrogance and it's not trying to sound like a hotshot. Google calls me America's number one mortgage broker. The reason I introduce myself or explain that to people is to show the power of what the internet can do for you and how our business has changed so much in the past just 3 years that having an online presence is of paramount importance. I'm 43 years old. When I was growing up, we used to say, if it's on television, it must be true. Today, the 25 to 35-year-olds, pretty much of our target market, believes that if it's on the internet, it must be true. Having started with that premise, what I'm going to share with you today is not necessarily how to be Utah's number one mortgage broker or Texas' number one mortgage broker by Google. I'm going to show you some old school sales tactics using the power of the internet. Okay, first thing to kind of share with you here is these are old school sales tactics. I am a ardent believer that the millionaire real estate agent model works, meaning if you have enough people in your database and enough numbers, and these are people that you're touching, or these are people that you're staying in contact with and really managing their mortgage and managing that relationship, that enough loans will spit out the back end. In The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, Gary Keller talks about the 33-touch plan, and that is using two or three different media to contact or stay in front of the borrower. It's called top of mind status, which is kind of which is what he refers to it as. And that is you always want to be buying brain cells in the front of the customer's mind. So how do we find or how do we get these names? How do we get these people? How can we connect with large numbers of people and be effective at it? Well, when I started in the business, two ways we got business were telemarketing, which was to find lists of people who are likely prospects to either refinance or get a second mortgage, or bringing donuts and rate sheets to realtors. And for those of you who are street originators that used to carry your donuts and rate sheets, you'll recognize what I'm talking about. That's where you went in and out of real estate offices, dropped off some rate sheets, handed out some donuts, and panhandled for loans. For those of you that have been around a while where telemarketing was prevalent, it was where you got on the phone and tried to make as many dials as you could, knowing that nine people would say no, and if nine people said no, you were that much closer to a yes. If any of you are out there feeling this and understand this, pay attention to what we're talking about today. The only reason I went online was twofold. There's two reasons I went online. The first was I was worried about the Do Not Call legislation that was coming down the pike in 2003. That was about to ruin one of my channels, which was getting on the phone and talking to large numbers of people. The second thing that happened was someone I know invited me to LinkedIn. LinkedIn is spelled LinkedIn.com. Back then, it was where a whole bunch of tech geeks were putting their resumes online, and recruiters were trying to get them jobs, and I was like the Trojan horse. I snuck in the back door. I was the mortgage guy around all these tech geeks. And if you all remember, in the summer of 2003, we had extraordinarily low interest rates. So it wasn't real hard, if you could connect with someone, to start talking about the mortgage game. They were all interested in talking with you, much like the environment is today. So having known that and said, I have a problem, LinkedIn started becoming a solution. I gravitated and moved towards MySpace and found that that was very effective. And finally ended up on Facebook, which in my opinion, over the next 5 years, is going to grow with such, is going to have such growth that it'll almost be required that you have a profile in there if you're to be in business. So let's talk about just some basic stuff first. What I want to share with you is this thing called social media marketing. Social media are these social networks, which would be MySpace or LinkedIn or Facebook. And they were designed so that people could connect with each other. With that, it's got a certain set of rules, if you will, that the community likes to see. And that is, you don't want to sell too hard, and you don't want to be spamming people, but certainly you want to talk about it's a place where you can connect with people and share information. So what I want to do is just kind of give you a little overview from a presentation I do at our Bloodhound Blog Unchained conference, which is a little history of social media. And the reason I want to do that is so you can get an idea of how we got to where we are today. Again, social media are platforms where people meet and congregate. The early platforms, believe it or not, before we all started talking about the social media marketing, the early platforms were simple Web 1.0 strategies. Dating sites were probably the big game changer for the participatory web, because they found that you could stick pictures and information about people, aggregate that data, stick it all together on a platform, and people would communicate. From that, you had things like Yahoo Instant Messenger and Yahoo Forums, old school chat rooms, if you remember those from 10 or 15 years ago. This was where we started the whole social media game. What happened was MySpace changed everything. They found out that by becoming really user-focused, they could offer multiple ways to connect with other people. It was open access, and it grew very quickly. So as we look at this, we ask ourselves, what is social media marketing? It is a way to go on these platforms and brand yourself or to promote your business. But more importantly, it's a way to connect with influential customers, who we sometimes refer to as mavens, people that can refer out to you, people that are big connectors. So why do this? I hear this all the time. People say, well, gosh, I mean, you must spend 3 or 4 hours a day online. I don't have time to do that. And I'd suggest to you that you don't have time not to do it now, because the world's changed. Why engage in social media? Well, number one, it works. Number two, a lot of your past customers are on there. And I want you to ask yourselves a question. If your past customers are on Facebook or LinkedIn and you're not connected with them there, do you really want them talking to me or someone else? I think the answer then would be no. The third thing is connect with new customers. I'm going to share with you a strategy as we look at some of the profiles on how you can look at your existing customers and find gold in their connections. Again, it's free, but it does require some time investment. Okay, this is the big thing I want to point out to you, and then we'll actually go in and drill down, and I'll show you some strategies, some tactics I use. The five pillars of social media are essentially this. This is really kind of the reasons that people get engaged on social networks. The first is a declaration of identity. And what that means is, here I am. The cool thing about it is, it allows you to build profiles on both Facebook and LinkedIn. And while there are many others, I'm just going to concentrate on those two today. But you can declare your identity, and you can talk about the business you're in. And this is really where you have an opportunity to give a sales pitch, if you will. This is the most important part of anything you do online, is building your profile and communicating what your unique sales proposition is. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you want to be overly salesy, but what it does is you really want to take advantage of the 500 or 1,000 characters that they give you to talk about what you do. The second pillar of social media is a thing called identity by association. I always jokingly refer to this as telling the world who your posse is. This is kind of important because whether you're on Facebook or LinkedIn, we are known by the company we keep, right? I'm sure you guys have heard Zig Ziglar and a bunch of folks say that all the time. You are known by the company you keep. Try to remember that when you're engaged on these various media, whether it be LinkedIn or Facebook, that people who are your connections are really your greatest asset. If you have lots of good connections, you're going to have lots of people that want to connect with you. And likewise, they're going to see value to the community, if you will. Third pillar of social media is a thing called a consumer-generated conversation. And what that means to you is, if you have a Facebook profile or a LinkedIn profile, someone actually comes over to your page and asks you a question because they recognize that you're in the mortgage business or you're in the real estate business or you own a hair salon in Solana Beach. They recognize that, and they may have a specific question. And because of your demonstration, your declaration of identity, they're going to initiate a conversation with you. Fourth thing is a thing called provider-generated conversation. This is where you, the provider, the person who has the profile, can actually talk about things germane to your business. I'll show you in a little bit when we go to Facebook that oftentimes I will talk about what rates are doing in the status bar. And by providing that conversation, by providing that content, it inspires discussion. And what that does is get people to interact with you. And the ultimate goal is to get people offline and in person. And the way you do that is obviously as you go through the process, when you meet with them, you get on the phone and you talk to them, and eventually they're going to meet with you in person to do business. So, I'm giving this little background because I want you to understand the rules as we go in, and I also want you to keep in mind that this is really kind of an old school effort. All we're doing when we go online is looking to connect with as many people as we can in an efficient and polite manner. The analogy I use for people all the time is when you're online and you're trying to connect with people, try to behave like you would at a family wedding. At a family wedding, you wouldn't necessarily walk in and start handing out your business card to everybody. If you did, that'd be a little bit gauche. People would look at you kind of funny, and it would be a poor reflection on who you really are. However, if someone walked up to you and had a question about what mortgage rates were doing, you pretty much have an answer for them. And that's how you want to be armed when you go on these networks. So, enough of the theoretical stuff. Let's get practical and actually start looking at strategies that we can use, you can do today, that can turn into business for you in the next 30 days. Let's see if I can move this down. First thing I want to pull up, I don't want to spend more time on Facebook than LinkedIn because Facebook is so much more effective right now. For those of you that don't know anything about Facebook, Facebook is essentially a social network that was created for college students to share information and share their pictures with each other. Inasmuch, it has grown over the last 2 years to where it, I don't even know the number of people that are on it right now. It's growing somewhere in the area of about 4 or 5 million people a month worldwide. But the cool thing about it is it has really good, rich demographic data about the people that are on there, and they volunteer that data. So let's log into my Facebook page, and I'll kind of walk you through what I've done and give you some suggestions on how I think it might help you. Let's see. Logging into Facebook, you'll see, this is what you'll see when you log in. This is what we call our news feed. Let's go to my profile and see what I'm looking at. This is a Facebook profile. And to try to give you the specifics, you have your picture here, your profile picture. There'll be other pictures in a photo album. A little blurb about you that I suggest is a really good opportunity to talk about what you do, and then the networks to which you belong. In my case, my local network is San Diego, and I have a college alumni network. It also shows that I'm married to my wife, Deborah, and shows my connections down here. This is the real gold in a Facebook profile, your connections. Because only your connections can see some of the things you do online. And you can only see what they can do. I mean, one of the nice things about Facebook is it's gated access. So you don't have to be exposed to anybody you want. One of the questions I hear all the time is, you know, if I go on Facebook or I go on one of these social networks, am I findable? And the answer is yes, and I think that's a good thing. But you're not findable by nuts with whom you don't want to connect. The only people that can see your profiles are people that you've given permission to. Try not to be too basic for those of you that know what they want, but I want to try to make sure that I explain to the folks that are new to this why they should do it and why it makes sense. This thing here is called a wall. And essentially what that is just a scrolling thing where people can come and post comments. And let's take a look at mine. I mean, here's a really great story. Let's start with this, and then we'll move it from there. Oftentimes, at this thing at the top here, where it says, what are you doing right now, this is called a Facebook status bar. And what I'll do lots of times is talk about what I'm doing, but I try to make it business related. So I might do something like this. Brian is holding off on all rate locks until Monday. Thinks mortgage rates are headed lower. Okay, this is the fourth pillar of social media. I just did gave some provider generated content. Now what this happens is this often incites a riot over my page because folks will come in and start asking questions. For example, yesterday, a guy I went to college with, his younger sister, asked me this question yesterday. Question, when refinancing your mortgage, for me it wasn't worth it, and you asked to have application fee waived and title fee, title bank the same. Is this a good question for someone to be asking you? I'd submit yes. This is the kind of thing that I want to be answering on a daily basis. As I click over to her, you'll see that this conversation started, and I was able to answer, at fee shore, title policies required, they're non-negotiable items, they'll carry. You or whomever is asking can feel free to call me to review a good faith estimate. We started a sales process right there. And as it turns out, I deleted this because I didn't want to review who was asking all these questions. What Carrie was doing was asking questions for her sister, my friend's other sister. And what this whole conversation turned into was a loan application yesterday. So there's a real good success story that we got lucky in this webinar. As I said, one of the cool things about Facebook is your friends here. And when you look at someone's friends list, you'll find that there are people with whom you might want to connect. Let me give you an example. This gentleman here is a real estate agent in Phoenix. Not that tight with them, so let me pick someone I really know well. This is a real estate agent in Long Beach who I do business with. Now remember, I'm thinking old school, right? I want to find people that I can connect with that need a mortgage. So what I can find here is if I look at Lori's friends list, I'm going to find tons of people on there. She's got a lot of people that are connected on Facebook. Now I've got a stream of everybody with whom Lori Manny is connected. And I can even drill this thing down and find out everybody she's connected with in the Los Angeles, California network. Again, I'm looking for likely home buyers. And I can walk through this thing and perhaps see if there's anyone of interest to me. Actually, Lori's a rough example because she has so many friends. Let's do this. Let's look at my wife. Because she uses Facebook like most normal people do. And that she connects with her friends. What I can do is look on here and see if there's likely people with whom I want to connect. And I would probably find that here's a guy in San Diego who may be someone of interest to me. Mark, are you still on the phone?
Brian, yes, I am on the phone. I was just muted.
Okay, great. How are we doing so far? Is this making sense? Is this falling in line with what you and I were talking about?
Absolutely. This
okay.
is exactly what you and I were talking about, is bringing that old school to the new school. The way that I think about it is that in the real world, I end up going to these networking functions, and there's 100, 150 people in the room, and I really don't know of those 100, 150 people that are in that room who I need to be talking to. I don't know their name. I don't know what they do for a living. I don't know if there's any real true value from a business perspective. But the really neat thing about this online world is that you have the ability to go ahead and scan through those 100 and 150 people before you ever walk up and introduce yourself. So I'm going to go ahead and re-mute, but I think you're right on.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Mark. One of the cool things about Facebook is it is the 175 million person, I think that's the actual number now, the 175 million person Chamber of Commerce meeting. Imagine if you went to a Chamber of Commerce meeting. We've all gone to those, right? And you had X-ray vision, meaning when someone came up and started handing you their card and wanting to talk to you about what they did, you didn't even have to listen to them. You could use your X-ray vision and know everything you needed to know about Marnie Collins Barry. You can know that she has an affiliation with Deborah Brady, and you can know that she is a graduate of Rosemont College, and you can know her age and that she's married. Are these important things? I think they are. I think these are ways that help you connect with people. So the idea here, if you're looking for ways to connect with as many people as possible, Facebook might offer you that option. Now, that's one way you can use Facebook. The other neat thing is, Chris Brown's here. Hi, Chris. The other neat thing you can do is you can see all of your old contacts are on Facebook. I'm going to show you how to do that now, I think. My database has gotten, my email database has gotten to the point where it's hard to upload. But you can use a function here called Friend Finder on Facebook. What you can do is you can upload your email, your Outlook Express, or in my case, my Yahoo email. And if they have used an email that you have to register on Facebook, you'll catch them. I'll tell you a funny story. And my wife's on this this webinar, so she's going to hear the story. My wife about 6 months ago decided to go on Facebook, and she had wanted to build out her profile and do a lot of the things that I do and then surprise me. Well, I do this process of uploading my email contacts once a week. So it just so happened that 2 days after she joined, bang, I saw that she was on Facebook, and when I was coming, when I got home from work, I said, hey, are you on Facebook? And blank look came over Facebook. She said, how do you know that? I said, gosh, I do webinars about this. But this is the power of it. I mean, the power of it is, let's not say she wasn't my wife. Let's just say she was a past client. And she registered for a Facebook profile. I'm going to be one of the first people to connect with her because I'm going through my email database and uploading it here to Facebook. Now, here we go. It says I have 201 contacts on Facebook that can add you as friends. You're already Facebook friends with 229 people from your Yahoo contact list. Do any of you folks think it's important to stay in contact with people as much as possible? The answer should be, of course, yes. So what I can do is go through here. And for example, Jessica, I know, and I'm only going to do a few of these. Well, I can be looking through, see if there are people that we're going to find a surprising one. So as you can see, what I'm doing through here is I'm finding people that have some sort of relationship with me because they're in my email database. And without going through the rest, I can then click Add as Friends, and automatically a connection request goes out. For what it's worth, folks, I don't invite people that are not on the Facebook platform to join. It's just not my style. So by doing that, you will keep your email or your Outlook database, your email database, connected or synced with your Facebook contact list. And that's, here's the cool thing about it. This gives you more top-of-mind status. Now, when I go through this and look for people with whom I might want to connect, and like I just did by looking at my wife's profile and then finally going through to that gal Marnie, what I would not do is not necessarily just send a blind connection request to Marnie. What I would do is ask for Deborah to introduce me to Marnie. And I might do that by sending Deborah an email saying, listen, I saw your friend Marnie Collins. She's someone I want to connect with because, you know, she happens to fit my profile client, the type of person for whom I can do the most good. And if I have a strong enough connection with Deborah, which in my case I do, she will gladly share that connection with Marnie and say, this guy Brian's calling you. I think he's the greatest guy in the world, and you should connect with him. And then as soon as I can, I'm going to want to get on the phone with Marnie to tell her who I am and make some sort of a introduction. Now, here's the cool thing. The call, if you will, is not going to be scripted like, hey, this is Brian Brady. You know, I do mortgages. Mortgage rates are all-time low. Marnie would shut me down in a heartbeat. It would simply be, hey, Marnie, we're connected through Deborah. Deborah's trusted me enough to help her with her family's finances by securing mortgage financing. And she thought I might be a good connection. You know, the mortgage business is crazy right now. So many people have left that nobody's watching their mortgage, Marnie. And we think that's important because rates go up and down and things change for people. So with your permission, I'd like to adopt your mortgage. I'd like you to tell me your terms. I'll plug them into my database. And once a month, we'll send you an email telling you what rates are doing or what home values in your area are doing. And this is where I use the top of mind CRM, the Surefire CRM product. What I'll do is actually, if Marnie gives me permission and she gives me that data about her mortgage, I'll just go in there and update it in my top of mind. And now I've got it turned on. There's no more work for me to do. So they send her out an email once a month telling her what home prices are doing in her area. They send her out saying, comparing her an email the next month, comparing her rate to what everybody else in the area is doing. And then finally, they send her out with some tidbits about credit information. Is that of value to Marty? I think it is. So now I've got just another way to connect her. Sometime in the next 7 years, Marty's going to do business. If I get enough Marty's in the database, I win the game. If anybody has ever used Loan Toolbox, Tim Brahim's big quote is, the loan officer with the most friends at the end of the day wins the game. And that's all we're doing online. Okay, let's see if I can show you another tactic here on Facebook, then we'll move briefly over to LinkedIn. Over here, you'll see these things. This is kind of telling you what people are doing. Like in this case, Robin Willis wrote on my wall. Oh, okay. She's on the webinar. Hi, guys. And this kind of tells you what's happening, if you will, in your network of people. Okay, I don't know. I'm going to try to answer some questions about Facebook if I can. Mark, how do I go in here and see the questions that are being typed? Are they in here at all?
That's a good question. On your GoToWebinar interface, it might have an area down there that says questions. I think since you're the presenter, it'll show up for you. It's not showing up for me, though, unfortunately.
I got it under chat. Okay, folks, there's a chat button down here. If you have a question about Facebook, I'm glad to address it right now. Give you guys a little bit of time on that.
I have a question.
Sure, Mark.
And this is one that other folks might have, but once you start digging into Facebook and LinkedIn for that matter, you start to get these random invitations from people that you've never heard of. These are people that are probably just trying to build their database, reaching out to people that are somewhat random. What is your personal policy on those type of requests?
That's a great question. One of the drawbacks is when you connect with someone, they see your friends list, and they'll actually start spamming your friends list. And then, of course, you know, you've got a problem because your friends hate you for letting a spammer into the midst. When I say spamming, it's, you know, where they're going in there and trying to connect randomly, willy-nilly, without any prior connection whatsoever. Hey, I know Mark Green, so therefore you should connect with me. That's not what you want to do. And then, of course, Mark, because his friends are nice people, say, well, a friend of Mark's is a friend of mine. We'll let Brian Brady in. And then I start sending out emails to everybody through the Facebook about what mortgage rates are doing. That would really not be good. So we have to be careful of people like that. My policy, Mark, is pretty straightforward. It's I believe in the goodness of people, and I let them screw up. And then when they do, I come down on them with a ton of bricks, which means if you're connected with me on Facebook, I will accept every connection request whatsoever, and you'll see that, you know, after a while, this thing takes a life of its own. You'll get lots of connection requests. I think when we logged in, I might have even had 3 or 4 already. So I pretty much accept everybody. And then two things can screw it up for them. Yeah, see, there's 9 friend requests that came in since yesterday. So I'll just go through this thing, and, you know, here's someone on the webinar. Cool. I'll accept this guy because I grew up in New Jersey. I mean, I'll just pretty much accept everybody as we're going. But what will happen is if one of these folks starts doing something wrong, Mark, I just simply defriend them, if you will, and just make my apologies. Does that make sense?
It really does. I appreciate that.
I mean, I'll give you an example here right now. See if I can go in here, and I'll show you where... if you're faced with that, and I've been faced with it a few times, if you have to get rid of someone, if you will, all you really have to do is just look down at the bottom here. It says remove from friends. Now, these two buttons down here are really useful. If anybody is a fan of the BNI, the Business Networking International, Dr. Ivan Meisner has a phrase he uses called a go-giver. All right, this is a natural networker. One of the natural things about networking is means you give to get. Now, if I really want to connect with lots of people that Mark Green knows, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a go-giver to Mark Green, and I'm going to hit suggest friends for Mark. Now, I happen to know that Mark has a software solution for mortgage originators. So what I would actually do is go through all my friends list here of people who are mortgage originators and say that Mark's one of the good guys and that they ought to talk to him, that he's not going to spam them and he's not going to be a jerk, and if he does, let me know, because I'll come down on him with a ton of bricks. So it kind of goes both ways, Mark. I mean, one of the cool things is you're going to get lots of people that want to connect with you, and my policy is just let them come in until they make mistakes, but it also gives you a good opportunity to do good. to be a good networker. And that's by doing what I just tried to demonstrate to you there. And that is suggest friends for people with whom you're connected. Okay, I'm trying to see if there's other questions here. No questions here. Okay.
Finding any questions? Because I'm not seeing any questions either. And for those of you that have questions, if for one reason or another we can't actually find them here on
okay,
the webinar.
Okay, folks. We're gonna do the end around. We're gonna go real social media. If you're on LinkedIn, if you're on Facebook and you have a question and you're connected with me, go ahead and ask it on my page. So
that
way we can all see it right there. So I'll go back to my page, and if someone puts a question up there or a question on my page, I'll be glad to answer it.
Well, I have another question.
Sure.
Which is that when you did your presentation for me, you kind of laid out your day. A lot of people are intimidated by social media and social networking because they're not really sure where to begin and how to actually incorporate it into their day-to-day. Would you give the folks on the call a little bit of an idea as to how you time block and how you execute?
Absolutely. One of the nice things about this is, you can do this 24 hours a day. So if your production time, if you will, your selling time is from 9 to 5, and let's face it, if you're a mortgage originator, you don't sell 8 hours a day. I know you don't. You spend about 2 hours a day selling. So if you say, I want to spend 2 very effective hours, and frankly, that's about all you really need. We all know that. If you say, I'm going to spend 2 very productive hours or 3 very productive hours, I can show you through what I do here on Facebook, I can show you, I can lay out my day to contact people. I can just simply go through here, what you would call a database, I call a friends list. I can look through there and see people I haven't talked to. And I think there are people that I should be talking to. So, Mark, what I'll do is, are you talking about lining up the day for phone calls, or are you talking about lining up the day for participation in the network?
Actually, yeah, a little bit of both. I know that you typically have a goal in mind in terms of how many new people you'd like to connect with, new relationships, and then in terms of going back and actually touching base with past clients and other friends.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to meet 5 new people a day. I'm trying to meet 5 new people a day, and I'm trying to meet a couple of realtors a day. And I walk into this thing. If I start my day off that way, everything is really good for me. I'm a salesman at heart, meaning if I start my day off by making 5 or 6 new friends, I know in 2 years the mortgage is going to get paid, and there will be food on the table. Let me repeat that just to, I think it's important for folks to understand. If I start my day off, because it's the single most important thing we do, as mortgage originators, everyone thinks that the most important thing we do is getting loans approved, and it is. But frankly, that's not that hard. The hard part of our job is doing lots of loans and connecting with lots of people. So lead generation, if you will, is the single most important job for a mortgage originator. If I can start my day off by meeting 5 to 7 new people, in 2 years, the mortgage gets paid. And food gets put on the table. So that's really that's the goal I walk into every day, Mark, for contacts, if you will, is how can I meet 5 new people and 2 new realtors? Then,
got it.
Then how that connection part works, or how that target list, if you will, works, is where I just pull out an old school legal pad, and I can look through my friends list and line up my call sheet for the next morning. And then I can look through their friends list to find out new people, if you will. Okay, see if there's any, I'm gonna refresh here and see if there's any questions. And then I'll kind of summarize what we're doing, and we won't really touch LinkedIn too much, so let's see.
While you're refreshing, it looks to me like we're about 40 minutes into our 45-minute webinar. And we haven't even gotten to LinkedIn yet. We might even just save LinkedIn for a separate webinar.
That was going to be my suggestion. You know, there's 3 questions here. Let's do these, and then let's do LinkedIn as a separate webinar. Okay, cool. We got lots of questions. All right. How do you join additional networks, Anthony Creco asked. Anthony, I don't know who you are, but we're going to make you start. So in front of hundreds of people. Anthony is a short short sale specialist in Westchester, New York. Most beautiful parts of the country. Okay, Anthony, your question is, how do you join additional networks? Well, the only networks you can join are your geographical network, which in your case should probably be New York or Westchester County. And there are other networks you can join if you can demonstrate membership in them. Again, Facebook was started as kind of college kids talking to each other, so they verify it by email addresses. So that's how I'm a member of the Villanova Alumni Network. I have a Villanova Alumni ID. I can belong to the San Diego Network and the Villanova Alumni Network. If Worldwide Credit were big enough, I actually have also a worldwidecredit.com email address. We could establish a Worldwide Credit Network. So you'll find real estate agents, for example, who have a Keller Williams ID, a Keller Williams Network, a REMAX Network, because maybe they worked at REMAX and still retain their old email address, Kansas City, their geographical network, and University of Missouri Alumni Network. So those are the networks they can belong to. Anthony, you also asked, how do I add links below your photo on your profile page? I don't know if I know how to do that. So what I would do, if I had to, was, okay, here is, I would do it in the comments section on that. And I was speaking to Stacey Harmon here, and if I wanted to give her some link love, I would just put this. I'm spitballing here, Anthony. I think it's going to work. StaceyHarmon.com. Put her name right. I think that's her web address. Yeah, so that just adds a link. So what I would do is just do it in the comment section, and that'll provide some direction for people. Let's go back and answer the rest of the questions here. Jennifer Bunker. Oh, Jennifer, you are smart. I think your maiden name is Muser. And if it is, I'm going to tell you why this is important for the ladies. What a smart, smart move if this is your maiden name, Jennifer. You know, one of the things you're going to find is people are going to find you from past lives. I always talk about my influencing groups are grade school. I grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. College. Went to college outside of Pennsylvania. Phoenix. I lived in Phoenix for a period of 12 years. San Diego. And I belong to a service organization with church. These are all five very important groups to me on Facebook. If you want people you grew up with, Jennifer, to find you, they won't know you as Jennifer Bunker. They'll know you as Jennifer Muser. So ladies, this is brilliant. Do not neglect this. If you're going to get on here and you want to be found, make sure you put your maiden name in there. All right, gone a little bit nuts on that. Jennifer is from Ogden, Utah. All right. So let's take a look and see what she asks. Real estate agent, local colleagues spend lots of time looking through my friend list and follow me around a webinar, sapping up all my strategies. Should I limit my involvement with local competing colleagues on Facebook? Oh, that's a good question. My answer is no, you shouldn't limit your involvement. They're going to find out anyway. But I might not be right. You know, one of the bummers is you're right. A lot of people will follow you around because you're probably a forward-thinking agent and will try to emulate what you're doing. Ogden is a smaller town than San Diego. So the answer in San Diego is I don't really care. Most people won't do what I do anyway. And Jennifer, most people in Ogden are not going to do what you're going to do. They'll show up to a webinar and they'll learn these strategies and they won't actually take the time and effort to implement them. So I think you're probably safe. Chris Brown, who I know, is a mortgage originator in Florida. He is also a Bloodhound Blog Unchained graduate. Chris Brown asks, how do you interact with all the add-on applications? That's going to be, I ignore them all, Chris, just because they really don't serve my mission. My mission is to connect with people and talk to them about basically what I care about is Villanova basketball, San Diego Chargers football, mortgages, and a little bit about politics. That's about all I really care about talking about on Facebook. So when they send me all these applications about throwing snowballs or chairs or poking or sheep at me, I ignore them. I'm ignoring something at all, but I'm not sure if I'm missing something. You're not missing a thing, Chris. Sean Purcell, who's a mortgage originator in San Diego, California, and my co-host on RadioMortgage.net. It says, do you call everyone who friends you? If not, what filters do you use to decide? That's a great question. Not everybody, Sean. I'd like to. I try to. I think it's the best litmus test is, like I said earlier, I just accept them, and I try to get on the phone with them. Folks, I'm glad Sean brought this up because I'm going to show you a really cool feature of Facebook. And if you, this is one of my favorites. About half the people on Facebook actually give their phone numbers out. And if they're actually giving out their phone numbers, if you go to your friends list, now this is, I'm clicking this, and I'm sorry it's slower because the webinar software slows things down. These are all of your friends, okay? And I can look at everybody on my friends list, and then I can click this little button that's new. Phone book. Everybody on my Facebook friends list who has offered their phone, when I click this button, it looks like a phone book, doesn't it? I mean, I could just go through here. Here's my day. I could start at the top and start making phone calls. So I want to point out that feature to you because, you know, the excuse I don't know who to call isn't going to hold water anymore because now now half of your friends on Facebook are offering their phone numbers. You can just pick up the phone and talk to them. So the answer to that, Sean, is I try to connect with everybody. If they connect with me and they have their phone number, I call them up or I Google them and try to find their phone number and want to know why they want to be friends with me. That's simple. And if it's just, you know, your crazy vast right-wing conspiracy political theories are funny, I say, okay, cool. And if they say, well, actually, I'm looking to do a mortgage, that's even better. Tim Davis asks us, what about the importance of actually speaking to people on your Facebook page? Can you discuss that some more? That's a great question, Tim Davis. Tim Davis, the importance of speaking to people on your Facebook page cannot be underestimated. Online media is all about the conversation. And Tim, you have a unique opportunity as a success business coach for loan officers to have a lot of these conversations on the page. Like, for example, this is all pretty cool what you're talking about, but right here is one of your best things. This is where a lot of conversations happen. You put on your status bar, Tim is just getting back from Toastmasters, going to start working on the confidence factor and beyond your circumstance from your dreams to reality. So what I would say to Tim is this, if I were a Toastmaster, and I'm not, Tim, so I'm just putting this. But what if I were a Toastmaster? Would that be kind of cool for both Tim and me? That would, you know, make us a little stronger. I would put, I am a Toastmaster, and now I've started a conversation with Tim. So Tim, I can't, there's two things I want to point out. One, answering the conversations that start on your Facebook page are really important. But instigating conversations, if you will, is easy to do. You just go over to to your friends again, and now you're going to get a stream of all of your friends, and you can click the button that says status updates. And by looking at status updates, I see what everybody says they're doing. And I can look through here, and there's Sean Purcell putting up a new inspirational post. And I can talk to Sean now, if you will, by commenting over on that. Anthony Craig is on a webinar with Brian Brady. Okay, I mean, just to show you how that works, again, he put that in his status update. And I can come in here and comment. Okay. Now, I'm just putting some nice stuff in there, but do you folks see how that we can actually start conversations here? And these conversations can turn into contacts, and contacts can turn into contracts, and contracts turn into commissions. That's the simple thing about all social media. Conversations turn into contacts turn into contracts, contracts turn into commissions. If you just keep that in mind, you're going to do real well with it. We'll do one or two more questions. Robin Willis, do I use Twitter to drive people to LinkedIn and Facebook? Great question, Robin. I don't any really more. Twitter, for those of you that don't know, is a microblogging platform, if you will. It's essentially the Facebook status bar only, and it allows you to have conversations with other like-minded people. And Robin, while I was a huge early adopter of Twitter, I thought it was great. When Facebook introduced the status bar, it was a game changer. And I said, my gosh, this is Twitter with pictures and so much more. That's the one reason I prefer Facebook to Twitter. The second reason is this is where the people are. Twitter aficionados will tell you all the time, you realize that Twitter grew by 62 million people over the last 6 months? And I go, yes. Do you realize that Facebook grew by 62 million people today? I mean, so this is really the interesting thing is I want to go where the people are. Now, without getting too deep into it, I do have a Twitter account. You can go to Twitter and tell people that you're also on Facebook, and that can be kind of a cross-touch. But generally speaking, I think Facebook is the place to start for someone new in the social media game. Robin Willis, by the way, is a real estate agent in Tucson, Arizona. Matt Sute, is there a way to separate your friends geared towards business and my private life? I don't really want my clients to see pics of what I was doing last weekend. Great question, Matt. I like that. Online reputation management. The answer is yes, but I don't know how to do it. Brad Coy, B-R-A-D-C-O-Y, does. He is also an author on Bloodhound Blog and addressed this at our Bloodhound Blog Unchained conference in Seattle last week. Brad Coy, C-O-Y, is someone you might ask that question to. There is a way to do it. Now, let's talk about this, all right? Do you need to lead a separate life? I don't, but let's talk about this. Perhaps one of the most important things you can do on Facebook is to show the real you. Clients understand you're human. Clients understand you're going to have a social life. Now, I can tell you, Matt, if you're out doing keg stands, it's probably not a good thing to integrate to your real life. But if you're just, you know, if you're just doing what seems natural for someone of your age and, you know, marital status and where you live, I wouldn't worry about it too much. But the answer to your question is there is a way to separate them. I don't know how to do it. Mark, I think we ought to stop here, no?
Yeah, I'll do one more refresh. 50 minutes or so. And I'll tell you, this is great stuff. When I first started trying to figure out social networking, I used to spend a lot of time on the internet. And the thing that you really made me aware of that changed the game for me is that you're bringing the old school into the new school, that you know that sales is a contact sport, and you're not just stopping at connecting with people online. You're getting on the phone with them. I'd love to do another webinar with you in the very near future to cover some things on LinkedIn. And one of the things that we didn't quite get to is the favor bank, this law of reciprocity, and what Brian is doing to actually reach out to people and help people using these social networking tools and building his favor bank. That's actually what he did for me. He spent an hour and a half of his time on the phone with me one night showing me exactly what you guys are getting to see today. And I was just so impressed and blown away by it that I really wanted to share Brian and his knowledge base with my sphere of influence, and that's the way this all works. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Brian, I just want to say thank you again for taking the time.
Hey, Mark, let's point out one thing. Let's do another one on LinkedIn, but since LinkedIn is not as robust as Facebook, so we don't need a full hour, let's do, if we will, let's combine LinkedIn and meetup.com. I'm going to leave some homework for all the folks here on the webinar. Explore LinkedIn.com and Meetup.com because Meetup gives us an opportunity to fulfill the fifth pillar of social media, and that is in-person interaction. It's a way for us to meet online and have specified events for us to meet offline. So if that's all right with you, Mark, I think those are the two we should cover, and I think it'll add a lot of value.
Oh, I love it, and I never heard of that one before. So Meetup.com?
Meetup.com.
Okay. Well, there's my homework assignment. So. I hope everybody's enjoyed this and gotten as much out of it as I did. And I'm really excited about doing another one of these very, very soon. For those of you that were not able to attend today that are listening in on the replay, I will be sure to send information to everybody about our next live webinar. Brian, enjoy the rest of your day. I'll let you get back to closing some loans. And everybody have a great weekend. Thanks a lot for attending.